Broadcasting live from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, for HIMSS 19, it's This Just In. Now here's your host, HIT advisor Justin Barnes.
Elise Sweeney Anthony.
Hello.
From the ONC.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So you had an exciting couple days.
We've been pretty busy, A couple of rules came out, one from us, one from CMS.
Yes. So please, I would love for you to tell my audience about the new information, interoperability, information blocking, and...
patient access.
Yes.
Conditions of service, everything.
Wow. Yes.
So we've been pretty busy, as you know.
Yes.
We were working with developing a rule that really answered what Congress has asked us to do. Congress asked us to focus on the access, exchange, and use of electronic health information, thinking about how we update our certification program to really think about developers, not just from the technical capabilities that we usually include in our program, but also a broader perspective. There's more to interoperability and the success of interoperability than just the technical specifications. As Congress said, it's the business practices. It's gag clauses prohibit information from moving. It's screenshots that providers can't share that might help aid and address safety concern. It's information blocking and all the different potential actors who could be doing that impact the ability of patients to have the information they need to be part of their care continuum. So yes, we've been pretty busy putting these provisions in place.
I love it. So what's a screen share? I wasn't familiar with that piece. So you can't do a screen grab, a screen clip?
So we heard, and I think Congress heard a lot as well, about the fact that where providers would like to share some information related to screenshots and so forth, that they're not able to do that because some of the developer contracts don't allow that to happen.
Okay.
So what we've included is a provision saying that restricting communications, and screenshots are just one, that would not be allowed. Yeah. There are certain limitations that we've included, things like you can't change the screenshot that you take, things of that nature. I think it's an opportunity to have more transparency in what the technology is doing and how it's really aiding providers and the patients that they serve.
Excellent. So I guess one level deeper, and this is just a proposed rule that you put out there.
Yes.
But what are the goals? What are the four or five goals that you could see if we get the feedback and we incorporate the feedback and we work as a team and this is what we push out there? What do you hope at the end of all this?
Yeah, well, Dr. Rucker, who's the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, has really been focused on patient access. So bringing to life those pieces in this rule has been really critical. There's a number of places where we do that. We've heard from patients and other stakeholders that they would like an easier way to access their information, their electronic health information, whether it be from a provider or what have you. So we've included a provision that makes that easier and requires developer technology to have that in place for the providers they serve. We also include a provision in the information blocking section that says that where a patient is requesting electronic access to their electronic health information, that has to be at no cost. So patient access is one. I think another piece that we are looking at is bringing in APIs more into health IT space. There's been a lot of success with application programming interfaces in other sectors, and there's a lot of opportunities it can bring to the health IT and to the healthcare perspective. So what we've included are provisions that require application programming interfaces to be available to certified developers without special effort. And that, we think, allows an opportunity for not only innovation to happen amongst those vendors who might already be in this space, but also allowing new entrants to come into the space and provide more functionality for providers or patients.
That's fantastic. Dive a little bit into this one piece the burden, because I remember I did see that, and then the actual infographic that Peter and you guys did put together, a fantastic infographic. I'm a policy wonk. I do like to read policy. However, an infographic prepping for the show was very helpful, so thank you, Peter, for sending that along. But one thing that caught my eye, because I don't want people to use this as a crutch, I know you don't either, is like, well, if it's too much of a burden, then I don't have to do it. It doesn't mean, I know we still have, we're a long ways, we've got to get public comments and all that, but talk about that a little bit.
I think Congress was very clear in what they asked HHS and ONC to do and to think about when it comes to health IT. And I think that's what we really wanted to put into place, are those requirements. A lot of those requirements are about technology being available without special effort, and that's the APIs. Mm-hmm. But APIs provide an opportunity to actually reduce the burden.
For sure.
And to find innovative ways to do things, basically providing a secure door to get the data that they need regarding patient and patient care and pulling that out in a safe and secure way. So what we're looking at is how that might aid the provider experience, because they would have more options in terms of potential applications that could be used on their mobile phone, for example. And then patients, the same thing.
Sure.
You know, there is a burden associated for patients trying to access their information sometimes, or having to access numerous portals to get the information they
for
need.
Sure.
In this new environment, you can envision where application programming interfaces can help to pull that data down for the patient and bring it all together in one place so that the patient becomes a more integral and involved part of their care continuum.
It's awesome. I love it. So what advancement, at the end of all this, what advancements should we really see maybe come in a year from now when this is all through the processes and we get the final rule? What do you hope to see as an end goal for three or four things?
Right. So right now, obviously the proposed rule just went out.
Yep.
The first thing we're looking forward to is receiving comment.
So 60 days from what day? Do we know
from not yet.
Yeah,
not
right,
yet.
Exactly. It's not published yet.
Not published
yet. Right.
When it posts in the Federal Register,
yep,
the comment period would start. Yep. So we're looking forward to receiving those comments and seeing what comes in. We expect to hear from a number of different stakeholders. And
sure,
I always say, we want to hear not only what you don't like,
correct,
but tell us what you like,
that's
too.
Let's repeat that again. Tell us what you like. We obviously will always hear what you don't like, but
absolutely,
tell us what you like.
Yes.
I agree. Yes.
Because it's important.
There's
a lot of specificity that we,
yes,
include in the rule so that we could really give folks and stakeholders an opportunity to tell us how this will affect them on the ground.
Yep.
So that's the first step.
Yep.
And then from there, once we have the comments in, we'll move towards the process of developing a final rule. And I think when the final rule is out, whenever that ends up being,
mm-hmm,
that what we hope to see is the progression of the industry to move towards implementing things like the application programming interfaces that are required for certified developers.
Right.
We look forward to a better understanding of why information blocking does not benefit the patient, does not benefit the provider, and how to not have that be part of your business practices. We look forward to seeing more communication happening about how EHR technology is working,
mm-hmm,
so that we can improve it and so that developers and providers can work together to determine how to have that technology work best for them and the practice that they're in.
Okay. Do we see more standards? I don't want to say more standards, but do we see us trying to focus on a certain number of standards around, like, say, an API interface, mm-hmm, or FHIR or something,
yeah,
like that? And that's what we hope to get from this?
I am glad you asked that question. So, in fact, what we have used in the past, in the 2015 edition, which we would be updating through this proposed and eventually, mm-hmm, final rule, that common clinical data set we're updating,
yep,
with what we're calling the USCDI, new,
yep,
acronym.
Yep.
But that stands for US Core Data for Interoperability. And it's a set of information that we think is critical for interoperability. So the set of information we really want to see move. And that can be expanded and adjusted over time. But one thing you would note that's included in there is now clinical notes. So that's something we're saying we think is critical to move as part of the interoperability spectrum. We are also identifying FHIR as the API standard that we think,
okay,
makes most sense. And we look forward to continuing to work with the FHIR community. We look,
sure,
forward to their comments on how what we seek to achieve and bring into place that Congress has asked us to do can be amplified or addressed through some of the FHIR resources. We even included an RFI in the rule, a request for information.
Yep.
I'll try to cut the,
yep,
acronyms.
Yep.
A request for information that focuses particularly on that. What version of FHIR makes the most sense? As well as how things like the opioid epidemic can be addressed through some of the technology that's out there, including FHIR and FHIR 4 even.
Sure. That's fantastic. So we think it'll probably hit the Federal Register. Do we know in probably 7 days from now, 5 days from now? We don't.
Soon. I think it will be coming out pretty soon. Right now it's in the Federal Register's hands,
yep,
and we're looking forward to publishing.
Okay. Excellent. I truly appreciate you joining the show.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Yeah. And, see, we might have an extra. We have a minute more. If there's anything else that you want to touch on or you want to highlight.
I think the main thing that I would highlight is please comment. We always want to make sure that we're hearing from stakeholders.
Yes.
It helps us to develop policy that works, not just for the folks that what we understand to be the situation, but what's really happening on the ground. And the best way for us to do that is to get the comments in. I would encourage folks to visit healthit.gov/NPRM, mm-hmm. which has all the information. And when it publishes in the Federal Register, please do comment. We'll include a template on our website to make it easy for you to comment.
Awesome.
Also helps us to review the comments.
Yes.
So that's a wonderful opportunity for you to engage. Comments can be 10 pages, 20 pages, or paragraphs.
Yep.
So there's a lot of flexibility in what you tell us and how you tell it to us.
Yeah, and then also, again, tell you what they like about the bill, the yes. regulation, proposed rule, I should say, and what they don't like.
But absolutely.
Comment on both sides of that, because I've seen that a lot.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Again, Elise, thank you so much.
My
truly appreciate
pleasure,
your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your conference.
Thanks.